You're listening to the Training Dummies. With Hand.
I'll look up the Headlock spell. And let's say it's a dot that lasts for 10 seconds.
The 34 accurate.
And Hotbox.
You can actually feel the tip.
Just the tip?
Yeah.
Hey guys, welcome to episode number 55 of the Training Dummies, recorded for you on December 10th, 2013. My name is Rob, and I am pretty much not playing a whole heck of a lot of alts right now. I'm mostly playing my true love, my Brewmaster Monk, which is going to lead us into some really good discussion tonight. So, with me, we brought along Mr. We're going back and forth between Daryl and Hind. So, what have we? Do you prefer?
Whatever.
Have you? Because these are, you put your name as Daryl in the show notes here. So.
Yeah, it's been like that since we started. Whichever, call me whatever.
My bro host,
Daryl,
who seems to have actually settled on his Resto Shaman for our main because of his epic heals.
Yes.
And also joining us tonight, all the way from down the street. Who's that? We can hear. Do we have a couple extra special guests tonight? No, it's fine. I don't know if I need to introduce them though. We have a.
My boyfriend is raiding in Lotra right
yes!
now.
Yes, so. Awesome. If you don't recognize that voice already, she was on the Monk Meditation podcast for a while as their brewmaster extraordinaire. We've invited her here to straighten me out tonight because I have no idea what I'm doing. Give a warm Training Dummies welcome to Sunnier.
Thank you.
That's the chat
Thanks
room.
Thanks for, I know, we've had to reschedule a couple of times, or at least once, but I'll blame that on my two-month-old.
Yes.
We'll get through it. Sunnier, how about we can hit you up with a couple of, like, kind of interview questions, and then we can bust into the good stuff, if that works for you.
Sounds good.
How, when, why, where did you start playing World of Warcraft? And it's probably obvious what your main is, but if you have any background on that, too.
Well, I started way back in Burning Crusade as a druid, and I was a feral tank, and I loved it very much. And then finally when I played that character until Mist came out, decided to re-roll because transmog was the cool thing to do, and bears don't get a benefit from that so much, and have been playing my monk since then.
I approve of that decision to change your main because of transmog, especially from a druid to something else. I definitely approve. What is the origin of the name Sunnier?
Well, I've always really liked sun imagery. Especially this time of year when it's so cloudy and cold out. But the name Sunny is always taken, so I settled on what is by definition better than Sunny. So it'd be Sunnier.
That's awesome. Sunnier is definitely better than Sunny. So, well, besides appearing on the Training Dummies this evening, what other community involvement or things do you do out there? I know you've got the blog and whatnot.
Yeah, obviously there's my blog and guide at sunnyartofwar.com. I also review the Brewmaster Guide at Icy Veins, and until very recently I was a co-host on Monk Meditation, which is a monk podcast, though I had to step down, sadly.
But you're able to still at least keep up your blog and whatnot, huh?
Yeah, my blog I've been keeping up for almost 3 years now, maybe four, I can't remember. Probably three.
It's been a while. I know I've followed it for quite a while, so.
Yeah, so it's such a habit now that's hard to break.
So what have you been up to this past week then in Warcraft?
Well, I've been pretty busy out of game lately, so I've only had time for my usual raiding, where my guild is currently working on Heroic General Nazgrim. I had some time where I went on a pet shopping spree and got my Crazy Cat Lady title, which it's surprising I didn't have that title because I've always had lots of cat pets.
No, was that in-game or out-of-game?
That's in-game. I only have two cats.
I know some people out-of-game who've earned that title, so.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Rob, so you're working on
heroic,
to?
Heroic Nazgrim?
Yep.
I joined
a new guild a couple weeks ago, and they've been doing pretty good. Still working on Nazgrim, but it's been fun.
Awesome. Right on. I still have the same thing that written here that I think I've had written for months. So according to what I've done this week, we have built this city on rock and roll. I think this week we got into, we just play a very casual flex team. We went into part three, had no problem with Malkarok, and then had nothing but problems on spoils. And I think the part of the deal with our flex team is that we do have a lot of people that kind of come and go or rotate out, or it's not always the same people. So we're kind of, the synergy is getting there, but it, you know, we still have to work on it a little bit. But we went back and blazed through some of the beginning flex stuff, and it's really, really easy. So that's good to know that at least, you know, we have the potential to get through all this stuff, hopefully before Warlords comes out. But other than that, I think I haven't been doing a whole lot. I did roll an alt on another server to play with some friends over in the Bitter and Salty guild. Those guys are super cool, so I may be leveling a monk over there. We'll find out if once I get to test out this cross-realm heirloom thing when we're done here. I think that'll be the make-or-break thing for me. But Mr. Hind, what have you been up to?
Well, you mentioned our raid. You know, I think if we'd had maybe two more pulls, we'd have got spoils. But we ran out of time. Yeah. One of our tanks had to go. But we were getting there. Like, we were probably half through the second phase where you switch. So this week, I'm sure we'll get it this week. If we can get pretty close to the same crew we had last week, I think we'll have it. My wife got her legendary cloak this week, which was nice. After we finished up Flex on Friday, I asked her how many runestones she had. She said 11. I'm like, 11? Well, we got to get that cloak. So we did the Throne of Thunder. She got, in part three, she got her final runestone. So then we were able to turn the quest in, kill Lei Shen, and then after she completed the solo part, the last tough part of the solo part of the quest, Sunday afternoon, we went down to the Celestial Court. We managed to get one kill in. And then I asked in guild, and Gondel in our guild, he was also on our flex team, he came in and gave us a hand. And then for the next two, we were having trouble to keep people in the group because you can only loot it once. So people come in, get one kill, and leave. So he talked to his wife, who brought in like five people from her guild.
And, oh, nice.
Oh, I know. It was awesome. So we got the next two kills right away, and she was done. It was quick and easy, and so now she has her legendary cloak. So that's one more person on the raid team who has it, which is great. Last week, I think I might have mentioned I'm thinking about, or I want to relearn my Holy Paladin. So I have gemmed and enchanted it, all his gear, so I'm ready to start. We'll see how that goes now, because I may have rolled a monk as well on the same server that you did and got it in the Bitter and Salty Guild. Just level that up a bit with the new cross-realm mail coming in. So we'll see what I focus on more, my Holy Paladin or this new monk. We'll see. And I'm sure many of you have heard already, but the Training Dummies has joined a media group. It is Catalyst Gaming Media. You can check out the website for that at catalystgamingmedia.com. There's a few other podcasts on there, a couple blogs. And apparently my phone's ringing and it's right here. Awesome.
Nice.
But yeah, and there's also forums there. So the Training Dummies now has forums. So you can get to that from our website. There's a link at the top for the forums, or there's also at the Catalyst website. There's a link there that could take you to the forums for that. So yeah, go check it out. All right, I guess it's time for some mail.
Holy crap. The dummy bag.
I still love that.
We've had that for a long time.
Yeah, we have. We've just never used it. But anyway, we got one email here. I think it was midway through our break that we had. But he says he's been using mouse over macros since back in February when we posted a bunch. I've used them on various alts and enjoyed how simple it is. I just changed the spell names to fit the character. Lately, I've been running on my balanced druid and have found that I'm creating this macro for many of the spells I'm using. So what he's using is the base macro that I think Rob and I use for a lot of things as well. It's got mouse over help, harm, target help, harm, and target yourself, depending on all the conditions. But anyway, so he goes on to say, not understanding macros much, I think I'm looking for a way to simply combine a few spells into one macro. Still being able to use the mouse over feature, I just don't know what I'm doing. I'm a copy-paste kind of person. I don't have a problem using Alt, Control, and Shift if need be, but I feel that is taking to a macro level I have no understanding of. Thanks for the help, and that's Zagar, Troll Druid on Proudmoore US. So adding conditions like modifiers to macros is pretty simple. You just need to basically copy what you have already, which is the mouse over help, and just in those square brackets add another condition, which is mod, colon, alt for alt, CTRL for control, and shift, of course, for shift. And what the macro does is when it decides what it's going to do is it looks at what condition has been met. So you want to have your modifiers first, because it'll look for control if that's your modifier. And if you have control pressed, that condition is met, and then it will look at the next condition, which is mouse over, or possibly target. And if that condition is met, then it will perform the spell. If that condition isn't met for that one, it will move on to the next set of conditions and see if all those are met. So the most complicated conditions you want to have at the beginning and move to the less complicated at the end. As well, the site that we love to use, or that I've used a lot and Rob has as well, is macroexplained.com. You can put your macro into the text box there and it'll tell you step-by-step instructions what your macro will do.
It'll tell you if there's any errors too.
Yeah. I know it wasn't updated for Mists, but it still worked. So I don't know if it's been completely updated, because there was like a couple new spells that were added in Mists that it was having trouble with, that would say were errors even though they weren't. But either way, it still works. And it works well. And it's a great website for checking all that out.
Yeah, it'll actually break down your macro, like, you know, line by line, and it'll say, you know, what this does is it will cast rejuvenation on your mouse over target. If there is no mouse over target, it will move to your actual target. And it'll, you know, so it'll break it down for you and give you kind of layman's terms as to what that macro actually does. It's real nice if you see all these like kind of complicated ones that, you know, with a lot of conditions in it, you're just not really sure what that does. You can cut and paste those over to macroexplained.com. Sound good?
It does.
Sonier, did you have any, I know you use macros. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
I don't know. I use a lot of those modifier macros just to save space on my bars, and they're pretty great. So
good stuff. Awesome.
All right. So I think we're just about ready for some Brewmaster, but first we'll hit this.
This is Skolnick from Warcraft Well Read, Warcraft Less Traveled, and the Dark Moon Herald. And you're listening to The Training Dummies with Hend and Rob.
What a great guy. I love that guy.
Yeah, that was awesome talking to him last week.
Well, was Sunnier, with Brewmaster Monks being kind of the new tank on the block, some people still really aren't sold on the whole concept or haven't had time or reason to go in and level up a monk. Could you maybe just give us a little rundown of why people should ditch their old tunes and come and spend some time with the new hotness? That's quite a compelling argument.
Sorry. Hit my mute button on accident.
Oh, no. That's all right. We don't edit. Right. We don't edit, but we'll make it sound like we do. that was actually awesome. We could put crickets in there.
Like this?
Ooh, just going.
Oh, there they are. They're on a delay.
Why should you level a monk?
Alrighty.
So monks have... they have great mobility, they have avoidance tools, they have damage smoothing tools, self-healing, and great DPS. So they've just got all of these kind of, this varied toolkit that most other tanks don't have so much of. The downside is typically that Brewmasters are a low health tank, which can be scary if you're not used to it, but our skills actually synergize quite well with having low health. And you can always increase your health if you feel uncomfortable at those levels. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're the best things ever.
I think part of it is that since they are the newest class on the block, what really is nice is that they've been designed with all the latest, greatest in mind. You know, like, I think some people are feeling like some of the other tanking classes are they don't have the new active mitigation models and they don't have a lot of what the monk has. So the monk is actually built for this content that we're doing right now, and it is, like you said, it just works really well.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of baggage to monks that there is to all the other tanking classes.
Now, you said you mentioned Brewmasters being kind of a low health tank. I think that, and this is some of maybe what I need to straighten out tonight, because when I decided to do it, and kind of just encouraged me to go for it, and I leveled as a Brewmaster, but that doesn't really mean anything at all with actual in game content, because how you play in a raid is completely different than how you quest and how you do five man. So jumping back into this for me, I really went with the survivability mastery stam build, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But I think I'm with our raid bus. I'm over a million health right now. What are you sitting at for yours?
About 800K, I think.
And you probably have even a lot better gear than I do. So maybe I need to pull out the notepad here and we can dig into this and see where I can maybe make some adjustments here. And I do see some questions in the chat room, and we will get to those. I'll make sure, I'm going to drop that into the notes here so we can make sure and get to those. Han, do you want to start us off with this?
Oh, hey, it's blue. Oh, my God. All right. So as
it's okay. It's just this giant wall of red text. So
I know. Yeah, right. It's awesome. I looked at the notes this morning. It's like they exploded. It's awesome. So anyway, stat priorities. What are the basic priorities, or what are the main priorities for Brewmaster Monks?
Well, there are two popular builds for Brewmaster Tanks, and that's the crit build and the mastery build. Mastery is the one that's more survival focused. That's that one also works well with high stamina, though it's not required. And that's typically what I recommend for people who are just starting out, beginners, because it's a much more forgiving play style, because you can survive a lot of damage and your healers can react pretty well to any mistakes you make. That stat priority is basically mastery is your most important thing, followed by crit and then haste. And for both of any build, you want to be expertise and hit capped. That's just really useful anyway. The next most popular build is crit, and that priority is crit is the most important, obviously, followed by haste, since haste actually kind of synergizes well with crit. And then finally, mastery. Crit is a pretty good tanking stat because it increases the uptime of Elusive Brew, meaning that you just dodge more often. Though the real reason that no one likes to say is that it's just for DPS. like they nice. Like to say, oh, it's a good tanking stat, but really it's our best DPS stat by far. With the added bonus that it's pretty good for tanking. So that's a popular build for 10-man raiders and for more experienced players, I think. It requires some faster reaction time since your health typically drops low very often. Mm-hmm. But similar, the drawbacks is that when you're getting hit by very hard-hitting bosses, you still want to go with a mastery build.
Now what is mastery for a brewmaster?
Mastery increases your stagger damage. It increases the damage that's pushed into stagger. So it's not strictly damage reduction. You shouldn't really think of it as damage reduction, even though it kind of can eventually turn into it with Purifying Brew. It's more like a super powerful stamina that only works against physical damage. So it makes you much easier to heal, is the gist of it.
This actually might be a good time to drop this in here. Zendra in the chat room is asking our opinion on what healer works best for a monk tank. I think, and you're kind of healing a lot more right now than I am. Why don't you go first?
Well, I'm going to say Resto Shaman, but I'm biased. That's the best healer in any situation,
well,
as far as I'm concerned.
Besides your flat out uberness, though, it's just, dude, is there a logic behind that? Or?
Nope. That's just, that's my main, so that's the best. That's all I got.
Sunnier, what do you think? Do you have a healing class that you like to work with in particular, or does it matter to you?
It doesn't really matter as long as the healers know what they're doing. Monks can, at least in smaller raid sizes, monks can be left to their own devices for most of the time. So, pretty much any healer can keep them alive as long as the monk knows what they're doing.
Yeah, I totally feel that because we have a mix of a lot of different healers come through our group, and usually right now it's a hand on a shaman. We've got I was going to try and pronounce it, but it's B575834 in the chat room. He comes in on his disc priest and one of our other guys on his holy priest. And so there's this big combination of, you know, direct heals, AoE heals, smite healing or atonement. So there's a lot of different things going on. And our tanks in our guild right now are me on my monk and another guy on his death knight. And so you see me and the other tank a lot really actually holding up our end of the heals and you know, doing what we can to be survivable. So I wouldn't say that you need a direct healer. You're, you know, really, really focused on a monk tank to make it work. I guess that's just my opinion. It's really going to shine through if the person knows how to play their class.
Yep.
How about gems, glyphs, and enchants? I kind of rolled that all into one topic here, and I know it's kind of a big topic. We don't need to spend a whole lot of time on it, but is there anything in particular? I know in terms of the two builds that you were talking about, obviously, if you're going to be going with a mastery build, you're going to want to gem for mastery and, yep, and crit for crit. Is there anything in particular to keep an eye on?
It's pretty straightforward. Brewmasters really like their secondary stats, so you want to have as many secondary stat gems as possible. Sometimes that's an issue when your hit or expertise capped, mm-hmm, and you have to throw in some agility or stam gems instead of hit and expertise. But really just stick with your stat priorities and your gem slots and it'll work out fine.
What are you thinking about the talent system? Talents is a different section, but I'm kind of rolling that in with glyphs here. What are you thinking about being able to switch these out on a fight per fight basis, you know, like on the fly? Are you kind of going with a standard glyphs and talents, or are you swapping out a lot?
I swap my talents out quite a bit. There are a handful of glyphs I swap out. Like Glyph of Guard is something that's situationally incredibly useful and situationally useless. Mm-hmm. So that has to be something that needs to be changed out every single fight. Most Brewmaster talents are pretty flexible anyway. There are some that you don't need to change because it's a personal preference thing, like the movement tier, level 15 talents. There are some that you don't change out if you're just lazy. Like,
you're calling me out, RG.
I'm calling myself out because for the level 75 talents, the cooldowns. Mm-hmm. If I know I don't have any problems surviving that fight, I just stick to healing elixirs for the entire raid.
Me too. I love those passive talents. So the guy that we had on is the Shadow Priest guest a while back. He's actually he sent in a question for us tonight. He's actually gone Brewmaster Monk, and he called me out. We were doing some runs one night, and he's like, Why are you using the Tiger for level 90? You should be using Rushing Jade Wind. I was like, because I love Tiger Bro. He's the best ever. And of course, he's like, well, obviously you haven't read Sunnier's new blog post about how to maximize your... I'm like, all right, fine. So I've actually really been getting into swapping out a little more and trying not to do the lazy talents, you know, trying to up my game a notch and be a better tank. So let's see, you talked a little bit about Glyph of Guard. I see in the notes here you mentioned something to be wary of with the Glyph of Guard.
Yeah, I see a lot of people try to use Glyph of Guard for purely physical fights because that means the healing buff from Guard is up all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's something that sounds like a really great idea, but ends up being working against Brewmaster's strengths and our weaknesses. Like, our weakness is typically we don't have a lot of really big cooldowns except for Guard, and we have low health and tend to be bouncy, except Guard minimizes that. So it's just something like, if you should only be using that glyph for magic fights, and just stick to that.
Now, is this something that would be obvious if you read the tooltip, or are people just trying to finagle, do you think? Trying to be clever?
I think it's one of those things where it almost feels like you're being a little bit cleverer than the game, but not like game-breaking clever.
Yeah.
And I see, that's something I see a lot of people trying to do, where they're just like, oh, I think I found this cool new way to play the game, and it ends up not being optimal, but it sounds cool, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty, that's like the LFR mentality, almost.
So, enchants. What enchants do brewmasters normally want to go with?
In most cases, you want to stick with the agility enchants or, like, the haste or expertise enchants when those aren't available, just because agility is a great stat all around. If you are brand spanking new, or if you're attempting content that you're undergeared for, then the stamina chance are also a pretty good choice.
And that's the route that I've taken for now. I think after tonight, though, I'm really going to play around a lot with my maybe tone down on just the straight up mastery stam build and see what we can get into. But let's maybe get through the talent tiers and see. I know that the way Blizzard has designed it with Mists of Pandaria is that there's no real set it and forget it like there was before. So do you have anything that you really, that you can just, you leave it there and you're good to go, or are you swapping out a lot too?
I think the monk talent tree is one of like the stellar examples of how talents can be done right. We only have like one talent, which is almost always useless for brewmasters, and that's Chi Torpedo. Mm-hmm. And even then, there are some weird niche cases where you could argue for it, so it's not the worst thing ever. There are a few talent tiers where you tend to pick a favorite and stick to it, like the mobility tier. I always have Tiger's Lust, which is the sprint.
You do? That's the one that I've kind of never used.
Yeah, and that's just something where you tend to pick your favorite of those three and stick with it. and that's fine. That works well. Similar with the chi generating talents. If you can really min-max those, like if you're fighting a boss that you're not on the boss all the time, then Power Strikes is the best. But it tends to be a very small bonus, so I usually don't even bother with that. And I stick to Ascension, but not very good.
Ascension gives you a little more of an energy pool too, right?
Yeah, it increases your energy gain.
Right, so that... See, I think when I was going through these, I really just kind of looked and was like, what's going to be the best for me to not have to micromanage stuff? So I think that's why I chose that one as well. And it gives you that extra... You get five... You get five chi, and then you get a little more energy. You get like 120 energy, or am I...
You get a faster regain, I think it's 15%.
It's like, yeah, okay, that was it. How about the AoE level 60 stuff?
The AoE control, this one is kind of fun. Some raids go, all these talents are completely useless, and some you can kind of swap around. My favorite is Ox Wave, just because it's ranged and it has the shortest cooldown. So if you ever need to interrupt something regularly, then it's great. Ring of Peace is surprisingly useful if there's ever a boss that can be disarmed, which there are like two or three that can be disarmed in Siege of Orgrimmar. It's amazing. And Leg Sweep is just your good solid if you need to control a group for a long period of time, relatively long period of time.
I love Leg Sweep. I mean, I guess 5 minutes are kind of irrelevant now, but that was... To me, that was a really strong talent when we were first, you know,
getting in there. I love the challenge modes. It's great for that.
Yeah, totally. You can, especially if you have a good relationship between your team and you kind of know who's going to do what and when. I mean, these mobs basically have no chance against you. You can keep them stunned or locked down. Now, you mentioned with the level 75 talents, Healing Elixirs is kind of one of the low management ones where you can just kind of set it up and leave it. Do you use the other two very much?
If there's a boss fight that plays well into either Dampen Harm or Diffuse Magic Strength, like Immersius, he's got a big casted magic breath, and that's just perfect for Diffuse Magic. There's also Iron Juggernaut that has a magic burst attack, though he also has big physical attacks too, so Dampen Harm works well for that fight too. It's a kind of interesting choice there. So it's
just a matter of knowing your fight, huh?
Yeah, if you're lazy, Healing Elixirs is pretty good all in most situations, but if you want to spend the 90 silver to maximize your cooldowns, then the other two are very good situationally.
I like how you say if you're lazy. I'm not. I'm not trying to be lazy. I know. I'm not trying to be lazy.
I'm lazy too. It's fine.
It's a good talent.
I need to find a synonym of lazy that has like a positive connotation. Like if you're efficient.
There you go.
Thanks.
You're busy all the time.
If you're extremely. If you're OCD, I know that doesn't work. So with the level 90 talents, you already mentioned kind of the useless one. Now, the way I understand it with between Tiger Bro, and that's my official name for him, between Tiger Bro and the Rushing Jade Wind, is one's more single target focused, one's more AoE focused?
That's generally how they work. Shuin and the Tiger has some really great cleave abilities. And so if you actually time him during some sort of ad spawn event, like Dark Shamans, when at the beginning you have all four ads there and then the rest of the fight a single target, you pop him at the beginning and it's just ridiculous damage. So if there's a fight that has kind of like a isolated AoE event, he's really great for that. If there's a fight that has sustained AoE, then Rushing Jade Wind is amazing. And it's also great at picking up adds and just doing damage without you having to think about it.
I've kind of, as much as I love Tiger Bro, I've kind of gotten addicted to the Rushing Jade Wind now because I like it a lot better than spinning Crane Kick.
Yeah, like once you get used to it,
yeah,
crankkick feels like the worst thing ever.
Yeah, so when I swap out and I go back and I got to use spinning crankkick, I'm like, oh, this is annoying now. Like, you're just, you know, it's got this whole thing that you spin around. It takes forever, and I'm trying to get an interrupt off, and, you know, it's, I've kind of gotten used to the rushing Jade Wind now. I really actually like that one, but it's just, I don't know. There's still a special place in my heart for Tiger Bro.
Those are probably the talents I swap out the most, just because it's such a wide range of and a big difference between what's effective in one fight and what's ineffective in another fight.
Yeah. So it sounds like for the most part, any of your talents, any of your glyphs, anything that can be tweaked or messed with or swapped out really depends on you being a good tank and knowing the fights and knowing what to do and knowing what you're going to need to do to contribute the most.
Yep. It just depends on how much you want to experiment and figure out what works well for you and your raid team.
So it's kind of good, though. I guess it does take a little bit of the laziness out of it, and it requires you to be proactive if you're gonna get the most out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we've gone through all that, let's get into the real meat and potatoes of tanking. Now, I've already admitted my monk is level 20 maybe, and I haven't tried Brewmaster yet, even on level 20. So I'm not even sure if it is a true rotation, or I'm assuming it's probably a priority system like most classes seem to be now. But what is the what are the priorities for the Brewmaster monk?
Well, it gets kind of complicated just because of the active mitigation thing, and Brewmasters have so many skills in the first place. So I like to simplify it down to just bare bones basics, and then as you grow more experience, you build on it. So if you're just starting out, the priority I recommend is you spend energy on Keg Smash whenever it's available, followed by Expel Harm if you ever happen to need a heal. And then Jab is more of a, if you have extra energy, spend it on Jab. Now, all that energy spent turns into Chi, which you then should use on Blackout Kick, which is your most important ability, and the buff that provides Shuffle should be up as much as possible. That's actually a big mistake that I see a lot of novice Brewmasters make, is that they don't prioritize Blackout Kick quite highly, and then they get stomped on in the first few seconds of a fight. So that's your number one thing. Get that up.
So what's your opener look like then?
Usually it's going to be Keg Smash, and then immediately Blackout Kick.
Okay.
And then follow that up with any AoE moves you need, or heals, or Elusive Brew. Yeah.
Here's a question then with Guard. I've seen two kind of schools of thought about this. Are you the kind of person that wants Guard 100% uptime, or do you save that as kind of a bailout for yourself?
I personally save it as a cooldown, because it is our most powerful cooldown, and it just does so much to keep you alive. But when you're just starting out, I recommend using it as often as possible, just to kind of get in the hang of saving that chi and spending it and seeing how much it can actually absorb.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll develop a feeling for sitting on it for a little bit longer and using it reactively should your health drop low.
I'm kind of in that little phase myself, where I'm moving from 100% uptime to going, well, maybe I should save this, because when you fire it off, depending on what's going on, I mean, sometimes you know, I get 100k absorb or 400k absorb, you know, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, how can I get the most out of this.
Yeah, you have to time it really well with your Vengeance. Mm-hmm. So using it at the beginning of a pull when your Vengeance is going to be low,
mm-hmm,
is typically a bad idea, because it won't absorb much. But if you use it when your Vengeance is super high, then you can get some crazy amounts of absorbs in there. And so you kind of have to watch that.
So you talked about spending your Chi on a Blackout Kick to get the buff. Do you try and keep up your Tiger Palm buff 100% too, or?
I use Tiger Palm whenever there's just an opening in the rotation. It's pretty much the lowest priority.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's still very important, but it's everything else is just more important.
Okay.
And
it's free for brewmasters, right? I know for the other specs, it costs a chi. So.
Yeah, you want that's your filler spell. So whenever you're waiting on Keg Smash to come off cooldown, or you're waiting for energy to regain, you spam that sucker. And as usually, if you just use Tiger Palm in your the lulls in your rotation, mm-hmm. that's enough to keep your buffs up.
Okay. Now, what's going to be the difference then between single target and AoE pulls or AoE fights?
Really, the only difference is using Spinning Crane Kick or Rushing Jade Wind. We still, Keg Smash is our big AoE ability, and that's in both single target and AoE, so you're going to get a lot of damage that way. Depending on if you spec into Rushing Jade Wind, you tend to just want to keep that up all the time with AoE, and that's so easy to keep up anyway. You just use it instead of Jab.
Hmm, okay.
If you had to spec into, you can't spec into Rushing Jade Wind, you have to use Spinning Crane Kick. That one is more situational because it takes you out of combat, or not out of combat, but you lose control of your character for a few seconds, and you can't generate Elusive Brew procs, and you can't cast any of your spells without canceling it. So you have to use it when you're in a kind of a defensively safe position. So you don't want to use it at the beginning of the pool when you don't have Shuffle up. You want to use it more like, okay, I got 6 seconds on Shuffle, and Kick Smash is down, so I'm just going to spin.
Gotcha. Yeah, that was a problem I noticed in Heart of Fear LFR. You know, when I was kind of getting into that and messing around with Brewmaster a while back, like, some of those pulls in there are just stupid, you know, tons of AoE, and you're kind of like, oh, right on, tons of AoE. I'm a Brewmaster tank. Let me top the charts. But, like, I was struggling with... Yeah, I was totally struggling with how to keep that Shuffle up, because you're, like, spamming Spinning Crane Kick and trying to, you know, just trying to figure out how to keep your buffs up without and keep aggro. And, you know, it was and of course it was an LFR, so it was a mess. But, yeah, so the main thing then... With an AoE pull, you'd probably open up the same way, then open up with a Keg Smash, with a Blackout Kick, and then, depending on how your talents are laid out, Rushing Jade Wind or Spinning Crane Kick.
Uh-huh. And one thing I want to point out is that you have your stun talents like Leg Sweep or Ring of Peace that are really great to use at the beginning of a pull. Mm-hmm. So if you tend to get die really fast in those trash pulls, just pop those early on, and... that will help you build at least a Shuffle before you get hit.
Now, do you keep Dizzying Haze on cooldown? Because I know that costs 2 chi. So it's, for me, I'm always trying to think like...
Breath of Fire?
Yeah. That's what I meant.
That's more of like, if you're in a situation where you don't care about survival, like if it's just weak hitting trash, or mm-hmm. you have to burn those adds down really, really fast, then that's the time to use Breath of Fire. If you aren't quite sure if you can stay in a healthy HP level, then just forget about it. Don't really think about using it too much.
Well, that's good to know. I think in some cases I just don't know, and it feels like such an awesome move that I want to use it.
Yeah, like, it's kind of weird. You know, it's like a key Brewmaster thing. Like that's what they did in Warcraft 3. So. We should use it a lot too, but it's not really the case. It's more of like the rare time that you want to do more DPS than survive.
Yeah, that's no. In 5 minutes, we're at the point now where you could pretty much solo it, and I have done that.
That's a great time.
some of these groups, man. I've been into these. I've been calling them speed runs lately, and they're not like. They're not like you know, like a challenge mode run, but it's basically me dragging along whoever I can into a 5-man and just seeing, like, pulling all the trash up to the boss, seeing how quick you can burn it, pulling all the, you know, the rinse and repeat, and it's really, really fun. But in these cases, it really doesn't matter, you know, you're just kind of like, how much output can I do here? But I think in terms of trying to be responsible as a raid tank, like, I don't know if it's important to keep up that breath of fire or, you know.
Yeah, if in doubt, shuffle.
That's okay. That's all right. That's a good rule. All right. Anything else about a single target or AOE that we should know, you think?
One thing I recommend for beginners is that since there are so many skills and it can kind of seem complicated at first, that you should not worry about stagger at all. Like, that's our special monk mechanic. And it's pretty cool. And once you get to higher levels of play, it becomes very important. Mm-hmm. But it's more of an unnecessary distraction at low beginner stuff, and it never deals much damage to you anyway. So just ignore it for a while. And then once you start seeing that, like, oh, I'm getting a lot of yellow stagger, then you can probably start playing around with Purifying Brew.
Yeah, that's exactly like you were saying. When I was leveling, it made no sense to me. It never even came up, really, and you never really learned how to properly deal with it. So,
green most of the time. It's green pretty much until you start doing, like, relevant normal content.
Yeah. All right, well, that's good. How about cooldowns? I know you mentioned guard as a cooldown. How would you work your cooldowns as a Brewmaster Monk?
Well, guard is pretty much the go-to thing. It's great when used preemptively, like if you know a big attack is going to come. It's great used reactively, like if you just got hit by a big attack. And mm-hmm. especially then, you can, if it still has a little bit left, then you can heal yourself for more. And I think that's like the best use case of it anyway. The next big thing would be Fortifying Brew, which is kind of our signature shield wall type thing. It's not quite so strong as a shield wall, and it increases our health, which is like weird for a monk because we just don't work great with high health anyway. But that's the thing you use when you don't have any other cooldowns up, and or something really bad happens and a healer dies and it's in the fight and everyone's about to go crazy.
Yeah.
So that's a great time to use it. Our other cooldowns are really kind of situational. You have to know when to use them. That would be Dampen Harm, which only will trigger if a boss hits you for more than 20% of your health in a single swing, which surprisingly few bosses do. So you kind of have to know if you're going to get hit that hard. Similarly with Diffuse Magic, it's totally useless against like unpredictable magic. Or it's not totally useless, but it's best when you can predict the magic damage. It's not so great against like a constant dot because it's not up for very long. So you kind of have to plan those ones out. Our final cooldown would be Zen Meditation, which is sort of unusual because it breaks whenever you get hit by a melee attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you time it well, like during a Dragon Breath or Amurcius's Corruptive Blast or whatever it's called,
mm-hmm.
It reduces that damage by 90%. So it's really great if you can time it. It's really great against telegraphed attacks. Not so great against random unpredictable situations like Fortifying Brew would be.
Now, I saw the other day you made a comment on Twitter that made me laugh about Avert Harm. And that may or may not be as useful as people assume it is. I'm not sure if you even really use that one very much. Sometimes I try and pair that up with Fortifying Brew or something where, like, all right, I want to take a crap ton of damage, you know. Like, so do you find Avert Harm to be really useful or...?
If you can coordinate with your raid and they know its limitations, which the primary limitation is that it's 10 yards, so everyone has to be like directly on top of you for it to work.
Yeah, I think I used it on Malkorok during the Malkorok thing during the stack phase.
Yeah, and for stuff like that, it's really great if you're prepared for the damage that's incoming. And Fortifying Brew is a pretty great skill to pair with it, just because it increases your stagger damage, and Avert Harm damage is staggered anyway, so it makes that a lot more manageable. You can also do stuff like coordinate with a paladin and get a hand of protection on you at the same time, but that's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it gets... It very quickly gets to be a lot more work than it is worth.
Yeah, okay, so with the really, really short range and then the potential of how much damage you'll take during that, then I'm guessing that it's not a beginner's skill that you want to play around with too much, huh?
Yeah, it's like for my group, for my raids, it's typically like the cooldown we use when we've already used all of our other cooldowns. Because it's got all these kind of awkward stuff.
Well, this is like the bench cooldown.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't got anything else. Okay, fine. I'm going to avert harm. Nice. Okay.
Yep. Add-ons. What add-ons are you primarily using to, I don't know about help you tank, but help track stuff and keep everything organized?
Well, I almost exclusively use Weak Auras to track pretty much all of my Brewmaster stuff. And that's, I have all of that on my site because there's a lot of stuff to track with Brewmasters. And I think Weak Auras you can use Weak Auras to do a pretty good job of simplifying that. And like the rest of my add-ons are just conventional, like Voodoo and Voodoo.
Yeah, I use a lot of Weak Auras, and for the most part, I would never, ever recommend class-specific add-ons. It's a personal preference, not that they're bad. I try to take a less-is-more approach. So if you can use Weak Auras to do something that, you know, all these other things are doing, then just, you know, just use the one add-on. But I did start using one called Stagger Meter, and I don't know if you've heard of Eatmo Pie. He's a monk enthusiast on Twitter and YouTube, does tons of guides and stuff. But one day I was watching him and he was using Stagger Meter, and it's basically, you know, just a little tiny meter that you can size and place wherever you want, and it shows you the amount of stagger damage that you've taken, and it'll play, you know, a little sound depending on where it's at on that meter. And to me, it's kind of nice, like, to be able to, at a glance, I can see, like, oh, you know, you're staggering, you know, this much, or, you know, that little laser sound will go off and I'll go, oh, okay, so I'll purify it real quick. And I guess I just never was able to fine tune the Weak Auras piece of staggering. So I'm going to have to go back and look at your site again and see what, how you have your setup.
Yeah, stagger is a kind of a complicated beast, and it's really hard. Like, my stagger aura has a lot of custom Lua code in it, and that's required if you want anything other than the basic, like, icon Weak Aura. So, and there's so many ways to display stagger out there, and there's a lot of add-ons that do it pretty well. I have a couple of them. I've said a couple on my Twitter, and I can't remember their names now, but they're out there somewhere.
But it definitely, Weak Auras, I will, you know, raise both hands for that one. When I was heavy into Mistweaver, I got Affinity's Weak Aura package, and I loved it, every bit of it. I loved the way he had it set up. I heard recently, and this may have been on Convert to Raid this week, that they were talking about just being really careful with your Weak Auras, because somebody had written in a string of code that would mail all of your gold to, you know, if when you open up a mailbox, it would automatically mail your gold to somebody. So just be careful with, you know, check out the source that you're getting it from. I know the guy who wrote Weak Auras immediately went in and patched it and said that it's good to go now, but just be cautious. You know, if someone's posting strings weak our strings in trade chat, I probably wouldn't use those. And yes, we do blame Celestalon for that, but you know, I definitely would trust Sunnier with hers. So I mean, if you go to a site like hers, just make sure, you know, that you're prepared for whatever could happen. But don't be frivolous with any of your add-ons or code or anything like that. Okay, now this was probably the part that I was looking forward to the most out of this whole thing, because I really, for me personally, and a lot of people out there have been able to dip their toe in and get some experience and do a little bit of LFR flex tanking. But what are some tips for somebody who's really wanting to up their game and take it to the next level and just be a better brewmaster tank?
Well, I'm going to cover basically the common mistakes I see, or the small stuff you can do to just improve your game significantly. The first and most important is what I've already talked about, but it cannot be emphasized enough because I encounter this so much, is that shuffle is your highest priority and you need to keep it up as much as possible. Even if you have like a red stagger, mm-hmm. and you need to guard or something like that, it's just you need to have shuffle up. That's number one. The next is like keep track of all of your... You have a wide range of kind of weird cooldowns, especially your healing orbs. You want to make sure that you kind of know where they are and be prepared to walk back and forth over them should your health drop, and plan out your cooldowns as best as you can, especially the weird ones like Zen Meditation or Diffuse Magic that have to be planned out ahead. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I touched upon before is that you want to build up to using guard as a defensive cooldown and not like whenever it's available, because it's so powerful when you use it at the right time. And finally, there's the concept of resource pooling. So you want to avoid spending energy or chi until you absolutely have to, because it's always good to have a buffer of like energy so that you can quickly expel harm if you drop low, or keg smash as soon as it's available.
Mm-hmm, right.
And similar for chi, so that you can have a quick purifying brew or guard should you need those very quickly.
So for somebody coming from maybe a DPS monk, because the gear is almost totally interchangeable, you could really just jump in and try out Brewmaster Monk. I think the huge difference is that a Windwalker is a very spammy spec. You're spamming. You're wanting to get the most, you know, bang, bang, bang. And with the Brewmaster, I think you're wanting to manage that a lot more. You don't want to be, you're not trying to keep yourself with an empty energy bar. You want to kind of manage that then, huh?
Yeah, and that's something I've definitely noticed too when I swapped to Windwalker, is that like the way you manage your energy bar is so completely different, and it's weird since they're like, how different can these two right. specs actually be? But yeah, Windwalker is just so much faster, and Brewmaster, you have to step back and kind of wait until the last minute to use those resources just in case something happens.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. I was a lot of Windwalker for a while. I was kind of off spec Windwalker with Mistweaver for a lot of raiding in the beginning of Mists of Pandaria, and it was just constantly, man, you're just button mashing, and then to come in and you know, start picking up the Brewmaster, it was like, this feels so weird because these are all the same abilities that I have. You know, a lot of, you know, the, you know, there's a few that
Blackout
are
that kick, are kick type,
yeah, uh-huh. And you're like, and you're used to like, just get it off, go, and now it's like, oh, wait a second, man, I'm gonna need that energy, because, you know, as soon as that keg smash is ready, I need that, you know, I need that 40 energy for that, so I can't be spamming. So it is a little bit of a different playstyle, but it is very, 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 very interactive, very, you know, it'll keep you busy. I think I think it's the funnest tank spec in game right now, to just my opinion though, but
I think brewmasters are built to be very rewarding when you do something well. So it's like you time stuff perfectly, or not even perfectly, you time stuff just well. And you feel like, wow, I'm a smart person. I am playing this well. And that's a lot of like game design stuff where you just want to feel like you're doing good, even if you're just doing average. So I think it's a very well designed class.
There was a conversation I had with somebody from Twitter. It was Zazzy the Rogue, and he was asking me about soloing content. He said he'd done a lot of soloing on his Death Knight, and he was asking me what I thought about doing it on his Brewmaster, or you know, would a Brewmaster be a good spec to try this out with? And I said, absolutely, 100%. I can solo anything on my Monk that I could have on my Death Knight, pretty much. You know, not that I'm was that pro or anything, but it's super, super fun. You know, just getting in there and, you know, kicking people in the face is awesome, and you're extremely survivable. You've got tons of self-heals. You know, it's a lot different feel than a Death Knight, but it's very survivable, and I think it's a great solo spec. Have you been able to go in and solo any old content, or is that your sort of thing? Or
yeah, I've done a bunch of it. I feel like Death Knights still have this the competitive soloers, if you will. They're really good at that competitive stuff. But Brewmasters are fun because you have so much control over it, and you deal a lot of DPS even in those soloing situations, and there's some cool tricks you can pull, especially with your statue and kiting. So it's a fun solo spec too.
See, that is awesome. Anything with the statue that you would recommend to people? I guess that's the only thing that we didn't cover. Is that I think a lot of people just kind of set it down and leave it. Maybe I'll wait till we get to the macro section. I know you dropped one in there too, but
yeah, it's pretty fire and forget. Like if you know you'll need a taunt off it later, then you can place it in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
The statue's got some it'll usually shield the people that are closest to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of unpredictable, but since that's usually the case, you can put it next to the people who you think are going to need it the most.
So it's not a smart thing. It's a proximity thing.
Yeah, there's some debate because it's kind of hard to prove. Just because the shields aren't all that often and it's a relatively small data set. But we're pretty sure that it's a proximity thing. And it will still go to people that are far away, but usually it'll prefer those close. And it doesn't care about the current health level. It doesn't care if its target still has a guard on it. It's not very smart at all.
So let me see here. Taking some notes. Set up my statue next to Hend. Okay.
nice.
Wah, wah.
All right, we have some questions here. These are from, I think Robin mentioned earlier, Dan, who we had on the show. Oh, it's been a while now, but as a Shadow Priest guest. But anyway, he switched over to a monk now. And I think he actually said he's in the first time you were scheduled to be on. But anyway, I think what I'll do here is I'll break them up. So I'll ask the first question if you want to give the answer, and then I'll do the second, and we'll carry on for that since he's got three questions here. But the first one, dual wield versus two hand, what do you think is better if you have the same eye level weapon in your bags?
So given a pair of dual wield weapons and a two hander of equal item level and equivalent secondaries, dual wielding will give you the best DPS, while two-handing will give you more stamina, so it makes you easier to heal and stay alive. Your choice typically depends on what your raid needs and what kind of content you're doing and just what you want. However, that situation is incredibly unlikely just with how rare weapon drops tend to be and how usually we don't have a two-hander that has the same stats as dual-wield weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, if they're the same item level but have different stats, you want to pick the set that has the preferable secondaries to whatever build you're doing. So if you're a crit build, two haste / crit axes, and you have a, like, yeah, let me start that over. If you have two haste crit axes and a haste mastery polearm, then you want to use the axes. Or if you have the staff with crit and then you just have two crummy swords, then you want to use the staff. So pay attention to those secondary stats. And then if you happen to have two sets that are different item level, you just want to go with the highest item level because that weapon damage is going to be a pretty big boost. If you're still not quite sure, just go play around on a target dummy and see whichever gives you the best DPS and how you kind of feel about those.
So there should always be some sort of something that sets apart one to be better than the other depending on what your goals are as a tank.
Yeah, and usually the differences are pretty small.
Yeah.
So, like, personally, I like dual-wielding more. I think it looks cooler.
Yeah,
so
it does.
If it's close, I'm going to do dual-wielding because I want two swords.
Here's a question, then. What is it called? Crap. The stupid weapon enchant. How does that play in, then, if you're dual-wielding? What's it called?
Dancing Steel?
Dancing Steel. There it is.
That's pretty much the big reason why dual-wielding does more DPS. It's just because you have the double proc.
Well, I've got one pretty rockin' fist weapon in my bag, and if I can get another one out of one of our raids, then I think that's the first thing that I would switch over to is dual wielding over the staff that I'm using right now. But all right.
Okay, next one here. Is crit only dual wield for min-max, or can the stam mastery build work for it? Or is dual wield stuck with crit and two hands stuck with mastery?
So this is kind of an interesting question. It's true that like dual wield is typically best for DPS and two-hander is best for survival. So the goals of dual wield and crit align, as do the goals of two-hand and mastery. However, the actual stats are going to matter a lot more than the weapon type. Those contribute much more than any bonuses you get with just dual wielding and two-handers. So pay attention to the secondary stats and make your choice on those.
Before you move on to the third one, I'm just going to grab this out of the chat room real quick. Brett's asking, do you recommend, what BOAs do you recommend for leveling? BOAs? Did I say BOEs? BOAs. Would you rock the maces or would you rock that agility staff that they added?
If I remember correctly, the agility staff is the cheapest.
It is, and Hinton and I were talking about that last night. It's like
Staff last night. Yeah,
yeah. It's like $3,500 for the staff, and the maces were like, what were they, 21 or 17, 50 20, or
21.75 a piece. So yeah, you're looking at almost 4,350 versus 3,500 justice points.
But really, justice points are negligible right now. So
yeah.
So if I mean,
I would probably go dual wield. One, because it looks cooler. Two, just because you don't really... There's not a lot of survival issues.
You can use that...
kill things as fast as possible.
You can use that, that heirloom sword, too. There was an agility sword that you can get.
Yeah, sword and maces, if I remember.
Yeah, so I guess... for leveling, it's not going to matter. Really, you don't get an XP bonus from the weapons anyways, but...
Yeah.
There, Broom Fondle says, screw that, just buy them with the Dark Moon tickets.
That seems like the hardest way to go.
Some people are like all about that burning through the Dark Moon stuff. I go out there and get profession points when it rolls into town. That's about it.
Hey, we're doing 5-minute Jade Temple runs. I think that's quicker justice.
Seriously.
So, his last question here. So I'm assuming he's past this because this was 2 months ago. But anyway, just doing my legendary Mated Gem and eventually my cloak. Which one would you suggest? Because I've read some different things about which Mated and cloak to tank or to use as a tank as a monk.
All right. So the tanking Mated Gem is amazing and it is pretty much a must right now. It used to be horrible, or it used to be meh, not horrible, but not super exciting. And then they buffed it. And in turn, nerfed the DPS meta. So at this point, tank meta is great. DPS meta is depressing. And you pretty much never want to use the DPS meta unless you only 100% care about increasing your DPS. The legendary cloaks are actually a little bit more interesting. I typically recommend starting out with a tanking cloak, just because it has better stats, and the proc comes in handy surprisingly often, especially when you're attempting new bosses or doing just entering a new raid or something, doing something you're uncomfortable with. But the DPS cloak is pretty good if you're never really in danger of dying and for plain old AoE DPS. The good news about the cloaks is that it's the only thing standing between you and both cloaks is 8k gold. And they're pretty easy to swap out. The metas are hard to swap out, but you don't really worry about those. Mm-hmm. So if you can get both, and then you can min-max for whatever you need for that fight.
So if I'm hearing this correctly, though, you're recommending get two cloaks.
I recommend, if you can only pick one, get the tanking one, just because it's kind of surprising how often tanks die. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be that useful, and then I went into Siege of Orgrimmar, and I'm like, wow, I'm seeing this proc on every single fight.
They did that on purpose, I guarantee it.
Yeah, and especially, like, the later fights, like Garrosh, it would have taken so much longer to get Garrosh down without that cloak, because it was procing on cooldown.
Wow.
So if you don't have a legendary cloak, you recommend getting one?
Yeah.
And if you have one, you recommend getting two.
You can do it without the legendary cloaks, but I think Blizzard designed some of their higher-end fights with those in mind.
We've been trying to talk our salties in the chat room, trying to talk him into getting his legendary cloak for a while now, and I don't know what is going on. It's that guy. Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So, as far as Brewmaster Monks are concerned, is there any last thing you want to put in here, or any last tip or any last comment you want to say?
I don't know. I think we covered a lot of information, and then there's so much more.
Yeah.
I could talk forever on Brewmaster Monks, so I try to keep it simple, and then if you want more, you can go to my blog and just read a lot.
I was just going to say that your blog is just chock full of and I had messaged you this the other day. She has a quick and dirty tanking guide for Siege of Orgrimmar, and I don't know how many times I've linked that to people. It is a fantastic guide to just at a glance what to do. It's really good for LFR Flex, especially too, if you want to just get in and know, like, as a tank, here, a quick paragraph, what do I need to know? So everything from tanking stuff to class specific stuff, or definitely check out the Art of War page.
Thank you.
And yes, you must be a Lady Panda if you're going to be a remaster.
All right, well then, we didn't have this segment last week, but we've got it back this week.
Maggot of the Week.
All right, Sunny, do you use macros?
I use them quite a bit, mostly as a simplifying thing. There are a few that I feel like really help out the brewmasters, especially. Like the big one being making Chi Wave cast on yourself first, because normally it'll cast on your target and it can't guarantee healing. But if you cast on yourself, then it's a great heal. So, should I just read the macro?
You don't have to read the syntax.
Explain what it does.
Yeah, anything you put in here, we'll just throw it up on our site under the macro section. I believe Hind may have changed his Canadian ways and may have done some of that already. But yeah, anything you got, if you just want to describe what it is, and then people can go to our site and grab them off there.
Okay, well, the most important thing is the conditionals. Like the slash use conditionals being no mod, and then at player, and Chi Wave. And that guarantees it lands on you, And that type of stuff's useful whenever you want to target yourself without changing targets around, and especially for things like Chi Wave that can be used both on friendlies and enemies. So
I guess I didn't realize then. I mean, obviously you watch it bounce around, but you want to intentionally tell this thing, hit me, right?
Yeah, hit me at least once so that it's not so random.
That's good to know. I will be inserting this into my toolkit here in about 30 nice. Minutes or so.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
So what's this other one do then that you have here?
This next one just combines all of our taunts or taunt-like abilities into one button, so you don't have to remember different keybinds or whatever, and then it adds shift and control modifiers. The big thing is that with no mod, it just uses provoke on your target. The cool part is when you press shift, and it will target your black ox statue, and then cast taunt on that. And that is an AoE taunt on things that are around your ox statue.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes in really handy, especially because it's like most classes don't get this magical AoE pull everything button every 8 seconds. So that's a very powerful skill.
Nice.
And
yeah, extremely awesome.
Yeah, and I don't know if I've searched for an elegant way to do this, because you'd think that you could put some sort of modifier in there to target your guardian, the guardian being the black ox statue, but I couldn't really find a reliable way to do that. So it just has an old school target black ox statue. So
yeah, it's probably a pretty straightforward, easy way to do it.
Yep. And then the last one is a control modifier to cast Leer of the Ox, which is a glyph that's very rarely used in PvE content, because it's supposed to taunt your target onto your ox statue and it'll attack your ox statue. It rarely works on like things that you wish it would work on, but it's useful in soloing, so it's always good to have it there just in case.
I don't think I've ever used that glyph.
Yeah, I've used it like twice, and they're all soloing, one was like, I wonder if this will work here, and then never did, of course.
Yeah, I guess for soloing, huh? You could try and force everything onto your statue.
It works on some bosses, or like some non-boss mobs.
Gotcha.
Alright, we got a mail here. I think Rob, more so than I, has been looking through our mail, and we've been finding some emails in there that we didn't know we had, or we forgot all about. So anyway, this one was sent to us.
We get a bunch of spam that's like offering like Canadian discounts on Canadian medicine and wow. stuff.
Yeah, that one is.
Yeah, we get so much of that. So we finally went through and cleaned out our mailbox and found some of these actually really good ones that were sitting in there. So I apologize if we haven't gotten to your emails. We're trying to go back and get to some of these older ones.
That's why I make all people who email me, they have to put Brewmaster in the title, and I just filter on that, because otherwise it's just too much spam.
So here's a funny story. I may have told this on the show a while back, but when we had Anne Stigney on from the Wild Insider, I emailed her originally asking her to be on the show, and in the subject line I said, I'm not a Nigerian prince, but I have an offer for you. And her email automatically labeled it as spam because it had like Nigerian prints in it. And she said she just happened to see it going through her email one day. So, yeah, funny's not so funny.
Yeah, things not to do.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've got this one here. So I put it in the macro section because it's a very useful and valid one. But hey, guys, just got directed to your podcast by Exclavier. Enjoyed the show. Wanted to give a suggestion or two on macros. Though there are add-ons that handle the use of ground markers and raid marks, I find that macroing them and assigning them to my function keys, F2 to 8, allows me to easily and quickly access them for on-the-fly targeting. You can also add it to an ability macro if your main assist in your raid. So for the target markers, he has it's just a script set raid target and target with number 1 to 8 with all the markers there. But the one that I found particularly interesting, because this came up on Friday in our flex raid, on the ability to drop raid markers where the, what is it, Arcing Smash? Is that what it's called? For Malkarok. And you want to be out of that area when the breath comes. Otherwise, you're going to take massive damage. So we drop raid markers, three of them, and we were looking for an easy way to do it, and we ended up delegating it to Salty because he had an add-on that would do it. But we've had this mail here in our Training Dummies inbox for a long time now that gives us macros on how to do this. and I've tested this, and it works awesome. So anyway, I have already posted these on the website. I have posted the ones from Sunnier, and I have posted this one on the website for under our macros section. So if you're wondering where Hend is and how come I've already posted these, just to clarify, all the macros from episodes 41 to 53 are still not posted. So just so you know, I'm not that on the ball. But anyway, yes, check this macro out for the world markers. It's awesome. All right. Well, let's move on to this next one here.
Don't try to tank in healing gear.
Unclaimed mail will be deleted after 30 days.
Always check your loot spec before a boss fight.
Things I learned the hard way.
I've got no shortage of things I've learned the hard way. And I think Sunnier's got one for us here too this week. Sunnier, do you want to go first?
All right. This is an embarrassing experience that many monks can sympathize with. And that is, if you roll while kiting Leishen to different platforms, be prepared to dive elegantly into the abyss below.
And I've done that, I think, in a couple of different specs on my monk, because once that wind starts blowing, and you're like, oh, crap. You know, like, I got to get back over there or get out of the way, or you see him doing his lightning whip. You're just like, go sailing off the side. Yep.
Nice.
mine from this week is actually, you would think that I would have learned because it's in the bumper for this, but I've been going back and forth a lot this last couple of weeks between healing and tanking, because tanking LFR just hurts my brain. Like, and sometimes I just don't have the patience or the stamina to deal with it. So I'll go in as heals, and it really is, I did it so much in the beginning of the expansion that it really is kind of like not that big of a deal to me. Like, I don't really have to concentrate that much. So I went in, and I tried the other day. I was like, you know what? Fine. I'll just tank it. It'll be really easy. And I did try to tank in my healing gear, and it did not work out very well for me, and I was that guy that got yelled at, and fortunately I did not get kicked. I apologized and was able to make it right, but yeah, don't try to tank in healing gear.
Nice. You know what, I got nothing this week. I couldn't think of anything.
Whatever, so, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure there's lots. I know there's lots.
Whatever. We had two good ones. So if you guys ever want to send in something that you learned the hard way, make sure to fire it off. You can use the SpeakPipe app that we got on the page, or an email, or even a Twitter, and it will we'll include it in our show.
All right. Now it's time for my second favorite part of the show. Favorite today, because we have no crowd control. And it's, of course, that's still my favorite. That one is awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is. Megan, Warcraft Trolls, that's her podcast, who did that for us. I love that one. Anyway, I'll start off with the usual. I sent head love to our guildies, the Horderlies on the Deathwing server, and as well another blanket head love to our Flex Raid team and everyone who's raided with us on Friday evenings.
Blanket Hendlove.
Blanket Hendlove. Oh, yeah.
That's a scary blanket.
I know. I'm going to send some Hendlove to all the folks over at Catalyst Gaming Media as well, now that we're a part of that. And, of course, I have to send some Hendlove to Sun here for putting up with us for the last hour and a half here.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure for us, for sure. Rob, what you got?
I'm being distracted by the blanket of Hendlove here, but I really, really appreciate Sonny just being able to reschedule and come on and do this. I know there has been a few shows that I've really looked forward to, and this was definitely one of them. So I've been a big fan of your blog for a long time, and it's really cool to have you on and just to pick your brain about something that I'm really involved with at the moment. So thank you so much. Thanks to our Flex team, everyone who's showing up. Flex is just such a great thing right now. It's really great for our guild and our team and where we're at, because you know, we've got Salty, who's come over from, he doesn't even have to move his tune or anything. He's our other tank, and we're able to cross realm this stuff, and it's just really cool, and we're able to just grab friends and get in and do it, and it's really, really fun. And you know, our Flex team, I would venture to say, is better than LFR.
That's our motto.
We've put it to the test a couple of times, but and then everybody on Twitter and Facebook, you guys are awesome. Really, really lifts my spirits just to be able to interact with you and just have some fun, you know, during the work week or whatever's going on. You know, it's always very cool. Sonny, what do you got?
Well, as always, I have to thank my new guildies at CFT for being patient with me, especially while I die over and over and over again against Heroic Juggernaut, which is a fight that I should be able to survive by now, and I still haven't figured it out. So thank you, guys.
You can go back and listen to this episode afterwards if you want. There was a really cool section on advanced tips and tricks.
Nice.
No 5 stars?
No, sir.
We need to come up with a contest here again pretty soon. Let's do that. Let's figure that out.
All right.
We'll contest it up. But, Sonny, before we wrap up this episode tonight, why don't you let everybody know where they can reach you or stalk you or follow you or hand love you? That's so creepy.
Well, the obvious place is you can find all my contact info and lots of information about Brewmasters on my blog, sunnyearsartofwar.com. And you can also follow me and ask me questions on Twitter at sunnyearbear, which, yes, I know I'm not a bear anymore, but it's...
You're a
it's,
panda bear.
Yeah.
I am not a panda bear anymore. I'm a Draenei. What? I was at some point.
What? You're not a lady panda, then you're not a proper.
I know my Twitter is a total complete lie now, but it sounds pretty, so I'm keeping it.
You didn't even have to race change.
I just wanted to shake things up a little.
All right.
All right. That wraps up episode 55 of the Trading Dummies. You can follow our Twitter, though, and we'll make sure to keep you informed on all things Training Dummies. That's at Training Dummies. There's Rob at Rob Copeland, myself, Hend at Hend_Horderlies, and Kim with a Y at Kim Scally.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!